The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com, No. Artificial intelligence should not replace art. This article was written by Suyai Garcia M. on July 25th. You might think that with the uprising of artificial intelligence, AI, the most affected communities are the artists. But no. In fact, it could be you, a normal human being who's trying to survive in a world where a machine has more values than an angry man who drives a car. Everyday life now spins around more technology than ever, and this is just the beginning. If you pay attention to your surroundings, you'll notice that every single person who has enough internet access to be aware of what's happening right now is either too concerned about what AI tells them, or simply keeps it present to answer basic questions, even the most mundane ones. Everyone uses it, whether it's a simple chat or a professional video creator. We all know that, and people who lie about it help me prove my point. AI is portrayed as an essential element that came to change our lives, but actually, it came to change our perception of it. Now, there's only one thing capable of pulling us out of the wave of mass distraction we've entered. Yes, art. And no, AI should not replace something so moving and as personal as this. Instead, today is when more authentic art should be emerging. The beginning of a whole new era. The only way to be affected is by not adapting to changes correctly. Just as parchment became less common with the arrival of paper in Europe between the 11th and 13th centuries, and the use of letters declined in the 20th century with the arrival of the telephone. We need to be aware that, yes, many people will think a computer can write better than you, or that it can take less time to produce a more realistic and higher quality drawing than you can. That may be true, but what value could it have? All of these advances in technology are part of our daily lives now, and even more, they're our reality. We need to learn how to combine all those new features with our past beliefs of how experiences are supposed to be made. The main mistake is thinking that we should replace one with another. It's like trying to replace a boat with a bicycle. You can't do it because they're not specifically related by their mainly features, but each one fulfills their function, as they should, in the context they belong in. They obey the instructions given by the one who handles them. It's the same with art and AI. Even though they need to collide nowadays, they do what they're supposed to on their own specific field. AI transmits to the viewer, bringing a new perception of the world itself. AI can do whatever you can imagine within seconds, generating fake but realistic pieces. Completely different things that could never replace each other, even less if we talk about AI replacing art. Luckily, we can be sure that it has something AI could never achieve, and that's its powerful detail, life. Not against the AI, but in defense of art. We can't ignore the fact that, from now on, there will always be a comparison between both worlds, and a growing confusion when the difference between something generated and something created can no longer be detected at first glance. We can't resist AI, but we can use it to our advantage to improve our work. That's why we need to find a healthy balance between both. But what if, as artists, we want to do all the work AI can do by ourselves? We have to hold on to the imagination it might be stealing from us so we can take the wheel of our lives again. Because it doesn't matter how great AI can be if we still want and feel the need to make our own artwork. That's the best part of art, having the ability and the chance to feel proud of thinking up a perfect rhyme or discovering a new combination of colors you've never seen before. Even though not getting what you want is painful, getting exactly what you want without effort feels wrong. It makes you disconnect from the artwork, unable to express any kind of emotion through it. You condemn yourself to the fact that everything you do will be meaningless if you don't do it yourself. What you're asking AI to do may be understandable, of course, but what meaning could it possibly have if you don't know it, or worse, haven't put it in? AI-generated content is just that, surface. That's it. Need to understand AI because art still needs us too. We understand that neither art nor AI can survive peacefully without the other, and we can't do anything more than accept what we're dealing with right now. But it's still our responsibility, as artists, to keep alive what we value most, the freedom of expression and the feelings that art gives us every single time. It's not about the result. It's about the process. It's not about replacing contemporary art with AI prompts. It's about learning to appreciate their value separately, as if they were two completely different sides of the same coin. Even though email is more popular these days, it hasn't completely buried the postal letter. And the same goes for art. It hasn't completely died, and it never will. In fact, with so much AI-generated content out there, expressing yourself through art holds even more value than when you had no one to compete with. Because only you could have written that poem. Only you could have painted that painting. Only you could have performed that melody in that exact way. Only you could have felt that choreography so deeply in your body. And only you could have captured that story that millions of people need to see on screen. That's why it's special, because it's authentic. No matter how many times you ask the same question to different people, they'll never give you the same answer. Because we're not machines programmed to always give the same result. We're human. We feel, think, and experience everything differently. And above all, we don't need all the knowledge in the world to understand what happens when something you've seen or heard touches you beneath the skin so intensely that you know it's real. Because AI might generate powerful content, but only human hands can create something that truly touches the soul. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. ChatGPT's dirty secret. The silent damage it causes. This article was written by Shania Mahida on June 3rd. Okay, let's be honest. How many of you have used AI to do your homework or solved your doubts about that one equation that's been getting on your nerves? Or even maybe used it as your personal therapist? Or ranted to it like your own friend? I'm sure the answers to many of these questions would be yes, because who wouldn't use this facility when it could make your life easier? When it could do days' worth of research in seconds? When you don't want to trauma dump your chat group? One such AI, which everyone knows about, is ChatGPT, a large language model developed by OpenAI, which generates human-like conversational texts and assists in many tasks. But, like every coin has two sides, ChatGPT also has its pros and cons, comprised of environmental harms, which often go unnoticed. In this article, we'll be diving into how ChatGPT actually affects the environment, why it even matters to us, and some other cool facts. So, how does ChatGPT even work? Yeah, ChatGPT may feel like a genie that does what you order like magic, but in reality, before ChatGPT can even answer your questions, it has to be trained on massive datasets and texts from books, websites, and the internet, after which, when you ask a question, your message goes to a data center, i.e., a giant room filled with many powerful computers. The model then works to generate a response by guessing the next best word over and over again, until it finishes your answer. These computers do all of that heavy thinking and sending you a reply in just a matter of a few seconds. This process does happen in the blink of an eye, but the amount of energy it consumes, that needs awareness. The problem with all of this, innovation comes with a price. Even though all this AI and tech may feel futuristic, simple, neat, and clean, the servers behind the curtains are, in the case of many, powered by fossil fuels, which are non-renewable sources of energy, by the way, creating pollution and producing harmful emissions. So, the lesser-known fact is, the same innovation that's been helping us solve our own problems is creating more of its own. So, let's zoom in to exactly how it's been rupturing the environmental system. Training phase. So, like I mentioned before, ChatGPT is trained from various datasets, and this requires thousands of GPUs running constantly for days or weeks. And, as is obvious, this uses loads of kilowatt hours of electricity and energy, contributing to all the carbon emissions and greenhouse gases. That raises the average temperature of the planet. Inference phase. Each time you ask ChatGPT a query, a transformer model or server will process your input and generate the suitable output. And though this process consumes less energy than the training phase, people from around the world, just like you and I, are asking questions and talking to the AI millions of times a day. This continuous use also takes up a whole lot of energy and definitely impacts the environment. In addition, The overall environmental footprint includes not just electricity, but also manufacturing hardware and even cooling equipment and systems. Why should we even care? I know you've probably heard about climate change and global warming and blah, blah all the time. And it feels so distant with the melting glaciers, endangered species, and rising sea levels. These are all things you probably don't notice every day, right? But it is a real thing. They aren't future problems. They're literally happening right now, in your country, your city, and your life. You might have experienced many of them. 40 degrees Celsius heat waves, more frequent storms, diseases spreading faster due to climate shifts. And you, my friend, have the power. No, you don't need to be some scientist, tech mogul, or environmentalist to make a difference. Just being aware of how you're using your technology and affecting the planet with your digital life helps make an impact. Because AI is a rapidly developing technology, and they're all here to stay. Because in the end, what's the point of smart AI if there's no livable planet to use it on? A ray of hope. Green AI. Earlier in this article, we learned some things are quite messy with AI. It sucks up power and water, leaves a trail of carbon, etc. But there's actually a movement to upgrade AI to be cleaner and greener, aka green AI. This means data centers will switch to more greener forms of energy, such as solar, wind, and hydropower. And researchers have begun creating more lightweight versions, like some new mini versions of GPT-like models. Even AI itself aids in combating the growing climate change. For example, it spots unusual patterns in weather, climate anomalies, and wildfires through advanced data analytics. Final thoughts. Sure, AI is a genius. But nothing in this world ever comes free, and all that power comes with a price. Behind every chatbot generative response, however innocent it may seem, is a huge system which guzzles water, devours electricity, and leaves footprints, which are definitely not carbon-free. And eventually, all the things we don't see will start to feel. So, next time you refresh and hammer ChatGPT for nothing, think twice. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Gracie Abrams turned a stage malfunction into an acoustic sing-along. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on July 11th. Gracie Abrams just turned a stage malfunction into an unforgettable memory with her fans. While performing Mess It Up during day one of Mad Cool 2025 in Madrid, Spain, the power went out on the stage on which the singer was performing, reportedly because of overheating in the city's high temperatures. Lights, screens, sound, mics, all got cut off, but the fans kept singing along as captured in fan videos of the evening. Taking it all in stride, instead of letting the power outage cut her set completely, Abrams quickly grabbed an update for fans and delivered it to those in the front rows without the help of a mic. "I have a small update," the singer told the fans, shouting from her lungs. "This has never happened before. The entire stage system, every power outlet, every instrument, no power. They are asking us to get off the stage." Then, to make sure the thousands of fans present during her set could take part, Abrams proposed an impromptu sing-along session. "Maybe I can sit here with my guitar, and I know not everyone will be able to hear me, obviously, but if we all sing together, at least one song." Abrams quickly grabbed her guitar and delivered an acoustic version of her hit, "That's So True," with fans singing along as promised. Abrams walked the length of the pathway that extends from the main stage to the Mad Cool Festival towards the crowd, singing along with fans who recorded the memory. Before starting the song, Abrams took a minute to talk to the crowd, saying, "This is actually something that I will remember for the rest of my life, and I hope that you guys are having a good time despite it all." According to people on the ground and local media, the system malfunction ate up around 20 minutes of Abrams' time on stage. After the impromptu sing-along session, and after the power was restored, the singer returned to the stage to perform "Close to You" as a closer. Abrams' appearance at Mad Cool is part of her larger festival run this summer, which has taken her from Glastonbury and BST Hyde Park in England to Festival Cruïlla in Barcelona. Next, the singer is slated to perform at the TRNSMT Festival in Scotland, Lollapalooza Berlin and Chicago, as well as the Outside Lands Music and Arts Festival in San Francisco. Our next article, from TeenVogue.com, Taylor Swift spends 4 hours visiting patients at Florida Children's Hospital. This article was written by Ashley Carter on June 15th. Taylor Swift surprised patients at a local children's hospital in Florida this week, bringing tears of joy and excitement. Taylor has been spending a lot of time in the Sunshine State alongside her NFL boyfriend, Travis Kelce, as he trains in the off-season, and in between dinner dates, she decided to pay a little visit to some young fans. After attending the Stanley Cup Finals with Kelce, Swift then spent the day at Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital in Hollywood, Florida, on June 13th. Photos and videos from patients and their parents started flooding online, showing Swift walking from room to room to surprise the young patients. She took selfies, videos, FaceTimed people's loved ones, and more. One patient, who is in the hospital for severe scoliosis, shared a carousel of photos on TikTok under the username Jamar with the caption, "When you have scoliosis, but it's okay, BC, you met Taylor Swift." Jamar also shared a video that his mom recorded that showed Swift first entering the room and complimenting the Harry Potter-themed decor. "This is the coolest room I've ever seen. Are you kidding?" Swift could be heard saying. According to Dr. Jill Whitehouse, a pediatric surgeon at the hospital, Swift spent 4 hours at the hospital going room to room. She spoke to everyone. She was gentle and compassionate with every patient, no matter what their current situation was, Whitehouse wrote on TikTok. "I can 100% confirm she is everything you want an idol to be." Other footage captured from the day showed Swift posing for photos with families, signing copies of her Eras tour book, and chatting with stunned fans. The hospital's official Instagram account shared a carousel of images from the big visit, showing Swift interacting with patients and taking endless photos. "You made this a day we'll never shake off," the caption read. "Thank you at Taylor Swift for bringing your support and kindness to Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital. You turned hospital hallways into a place of joy, comfort, and connection." Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Charlie XCX is married. This article was written by Ashley Carter on July 19th. Charlie XCX went from brat summer to married woman summer. The Party for You singer married her longtime partner and the 1975 drummer George Daniel in a small ceremony at Hackney Town Hall in London on Saturday, July 19th, according to People. The ceremony was kept small, with mostly family and friends, including Charlie's parents, Daniel's parents, and some of his 1975 bandmates. Multiple photos and videos taken at the courthouse were shared on social media, showing Charlie clad in all white and Daniel looking handsome in a suit. In her most Charlie XCX way, the singer and pop music sensation opted for a short white dress instead of dealing with a long train. The bodice fits snugly against her body with silky ruched fabric cascading onto her shoulders. She wore her signature dark hair long and wavy down her back and adorned her head with a gorgeous veil. The couple got engaged sometime in 2023. Charlie shared a photo of her engagement ring on a private Instagram story in November 2023 before going public with the upcoming nuptials. The couple was first reported to be dating in 2022 after Charlie made Daniel Instagram official, before deleting the post later on. But the two musicians have known each other since at least 2019. With Charlie XCX's huge year in the music industry, from her wildly popular Brat album, her life has included multiple tours, festival appearances, and awards. Charlie famously features George Daniel in TikTok videos and often shouts him out on stage while she's performing, dedicating the song Talk Talk to him. After fans speculated that Charlie would eventually marry George Daniel after things had slowed down, it seems like there won't be much stopping her. The singer is set to continue her international tour later this summer. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.